Rock around Uptown Waterloo.
This tour is made available by the Earth and Environmental Sciences Museum at the University of Waterloo. The tour will be given by Peter Russell, who has been giving the tour for 10 years, along with Delia Garrido, myself, a student at the University of Waterloo. Our tour begins at the Waterloo Memorial Recreation Complex in Uptown Waterloo. This is where you should park. The tour is approximately 2 hours long and will also end at this location. When you hear a beep, press pause on your MP3 player. When you're ready to continue, you may press play again.
Our first stop can be found in the middle of the traffic circle in front of the recreation complex. There you will find a display of metamorphic rocks. Metamorphic rocks are formed by heat and pressure under growing mountain ranges. These rocks are called gneiss, G-N-E-I-S-S. Gneiss was formed 25 kilometers deep under the Grenville Mountains, which were formed over 1 billion years ago. This Grenville mountain range was as high as the Himalaya Mountains. The mountains eroded away, exposing the rocks at the surface. During the Ice Age, glaciers ripped the rocks from the outcrop and transported them to Waterloo County. The large rock in the center was collected from a local gravel pit. Glaciers brought these rocks down towards this area. Note the rock has a W on the surface.
How did that W form?
This was created by the rock forming into stripy layers that were then folded as the mountains were built. This formed the shape of the letter W. This unique feature was noted by City Hall staff and was chosen for this site. When the rock cooled, cracks opened in it, and an igneous or molten rock called pegmatite filled the cracks. Look for the white lines or stripes. These are called pegmatite veins. The rock layers were folded first, then the veins with white or pinkish crystals formed afterwards. In front of the big rock with the W, you will see sparkling muscovite mica and glassy quartz forming gneiss. These rocks are from Redbridge near North Bay and were formed in the same way as our W rock. Walk across to the front of the recreation complex, to the right of the main entrance. Look at the walls. Get really close to the walls and check out the white and grey material that makes them. You'll notice some grey concrete bricks and some white concrete bricks. The white concrete bricks are made by using marble. Marble is a metamorphic rock formed by heat and pressure changing limestone, which is a sedimentary rock. Big calcite crystals in the marble were crushed and mixed in the concrete made of crushed marble to form blocks. Crushed marble was also used to make the cement white between each brick. The contrast between the two colors of concrete make an attractive building.
Walk over towards Father David Bauer Drive and you will notice some drainage ditches around this complex with big stones. These stones are from gravel pits nearby. The gravel was brought down by the glaciers during the Ice Age over 12,000 years ago, and then sorted by water as the ice melted back. They were rounded, smooth, and sorted. You will notice most rocks are gray or whitish, and if you look very closely, the gray ones have fossils in them. They are limestone. Limestone is a sedimentary rock formed in a warm, shallow area. It is formed by the accumulation of shells and corals, which hardened over time. If you have visited a beach in Florida or Mexico, these beaches are limestone in the making.
The whitish ones with holes are dollar stone. We will talk about this rock's formation later. You will notice that most of the rocks are limestone and dollar stone. The glaciers collected them from the Niagara Escarpment. 10% of the rocks are glacial erratics from the Canadian Shield.
What is the Canadian Shield?
The Canadian Shield is ancient rocks forming the foundations of our continent. It is found over 800 meters below Waterloo and is seen anywhere north of Barrie, Ontario, where it starts to appear in a place called Wabasheen on the way to Sudbury. You will find stripy gneiss and pieces of greenish-grey rock also from the Canadian Shield, some pillow lava, and you might also find igneous rock like pieces of diabase, which are greenish-grey or have a salt and pepper texture. Just look for the different rocks. The unusual rocks are from the Canadian Shield.
Walk along the sidewalk down Father David Bauer Drive to your left, towards Luther Village, to a walkway across the road to Waterloo Park. You will notice a fancy gateway and a rock wall. We're going to check that out next.
Cross the road to the median and look to your left, and you will see a pile of shattered material. Originally, this material made one block of dollar stone. It is broken apart because it contains chert.
What is chert?
Chert is a kind of silica. This silica is soluble in water and recrystallizes and splits the rock apart. Chert was used to make arrowheads by First Nations people and our ancestors. If you look closely, you will see black material covering the surface. This is evidence of hydrocarbon or oil, which formed in the rock over time. Look closely, and you will find some white, soft gypsum on the left side of the rock. It is easily scratched with your fingernail. Finish crossing the road and walk up to the decorative arch. Note that the arch is made of bricks, and there is also something that looks like stone between them. This stone is made by Ariscraft in Cambridge, and it is a man-made stone. It can be coloured any colour you like to match original stonework in buildings. It is made by sand and calcium, and a colouring material, heated to form a man-made sandstone. It is quite durable. Walk under the arch to your left. Take a look at the big blocks of rock. This is dollar stone from Flamborough, Ontario.
How is dollar stone formed?
Dollar stone is formed by seawater flowing through lime mud. The magnesium from the water turns the calcium carbonate in the shelly fragments into calcium magnesium carbonate, and it also forms holes. In this rock, crystals have formed in the holes. Look closely at these holes. The whitish crystals with points on them are called dolomite. In some of the holes, you can see grey, almost clear crystals of calcite. Look around the rocks, and you may also find sphalerite, which are tiny honey yellow crystals. Further down Father Bauer Drive, you can also find the mineral galena, black or grey and metallic, which is a lead sulfide. Sphalerite is zinc sulfide.
After you finish, walk back towards the Waterloo Recreation Complex, but stay on this side of the road. Past the Bauer parking lot and at the end of the trees on your left, there is a footpath over the railway tracks. Take this into the park. Take a left and walk over the bridge over Laurel Creek. After the bridge, turn right and follow the footpath that takes you around Silver Lake. Continue walking along the boardwalk around the lake. Notice a pavilion. Go past it. Stop when you find a decorative stonework area on your left. Peter will talk about this next.
Past the pump house for the Kiwanis Water Park, you will notice a curved area made of stones. These are pieces of Eremosa dollar stone. This dollar stone is formed by a fine lime mud that formed gently in a calm area of seawater where the water covered a huge area with a very thin layer. Algae grew in the water and captured the lime mud, which formed thin horizontal layers. This rock comes from near Wyarton, Ontario. Some people call it waterfall rock. It is used as a decorative stone. Later on our tour, we will see how this rock is used in different ways. You occasionally find fossils in this rock. The most famous ones are scorpions. There are wonderful scorpions in the Wyarton area, some may be 15 centimetres across. Very little else is found in this fine mud deposit, but the scorpions are spectacular fossils.
Keep walking around the boardwalk. Once you reach the gravel path ahead to your right, check out the rocks.
Look closely at those rocks. With a little imagination, you can see some wiggly lines. They are called stylolites. Stylos means writing.
How are these lines formed?
They are formed by a gradual recrystallizing of calcite along a crack as water moves through the rocks, producing the wiggly pattern. You can see it clearly on the third rock.
I also found a good one to look at. If you go past the bushes, the fourth rock along, halfway down the rock, notice the bedding plane with horizontal layering, which wiggles up and down up to 2 centimeters.
Keep walking along this footpath and look for more rocks on your right-hand side. These are from the Woodstock area. They have white fossils in them called stromatoporoids.
Can you explain what stromatoporoids are?
They are an extinct creature which looks like the cross-section of a cabbage if you cut one in half. They also have raised areas looking like goosebumps on the rock. They have a curved pattern to them. Also, look for carrot-shaped horn corals. Scientists call them rugose corals. Rugose means wrinkled. So you can use it on your friends. You look very rugose this morning. Rugose corals are a single coral. All corals today are colonies. Single coral had a sea anemone-like body sticking out the top of it, and it was carrot-shaped or ice cream cone-shaped calcium-secreting scaffolding underneath its body. Think of this as its house. The third rock on your right has the stromatoporoids in it. You can see the goosebumps. You can also see other corals. Look carefully at the fifth rock, which has the carrot-shaped corals in cross-section, so you can clearly see their shape. If you count the seventh rock along, just past the Silver Lake information sign, you can see colonies of coral. They appear in a honeycomb, branching sort of pattern.
Continue walking on the trail. Walk up by the side of the grist mill. The grist mill has been reconstructed. Well, there used to be a dam here many years ago, and they would grind corn or wheat at the site. To your left, on Caroline Street, you will see a sign, and in the middle there is a grindstone. We're going to check that out next.
Have a close look at the Abraham Erb grist mill sign. In the middle, it has a millstone. The middle of the millstone here is granite. It has large crystals of muscovite mica that sparkle in the sunshine, and white feldspar and quartz. Granite is an igneous rock which cooled deep underground, allowing large crystals to form. Around the outside, there are interlocking pieces of quartz. They would be replaced when they got worn out. You can see ridges and holes in the quartz, which gave the grindstone tooth to help it grind away and mill the wheat or corn. The other rocks in this wall are pieces of gneiss, pink feldspar, black mica, and grey quartz. There is also a reddish-brown one on the left-hand side of the sign, and it is quartzite. Quartzite comes from the Huronian rocks, which are found north of Lake Huron. These rocks make the spectacular scenery of Killarney Park near Sudbury. They were brought down by the ice during the Ice Age.
Walk back down Caroline Street past the grist mill. Look over into the creek as it escapes from Silver Lake.
At your feet, you will find some interesting fossils. Walk over near the Perimeter Institute sign and look on the ground at the blocks beneath the metal fence. You can find more rugose corals in these stones. They have an internal structure and the cup-like top, which would hold the soft parts of the creature. You can see the cone-shaped one and the chambers with the supporting layers inside the coral. These rocks outcrop at the mouth of the Grand River and are quarried in the Woodstock area. In the rocks behind the Perimeter Institute sign, you can see more stromatoporoids. You can also see the next rock over towards the clay and glass gallery has coiled shells together with the rugose corals. They're about the size of a toonie. The next one over has some large rugose corals. The last rock has lots of corals. Some are very delicate and they have different structures in them. Look closely and check out the honeycomb structure in some and very fine tubes that interlock in the other ones.
Head for the main entrance of the lower level of the Waterloo Public Library. Cross the street either by carefully crossing the busy road or, if you wish, at the traffic light past the clay and glass gallery. Walk to the main entrance of the public library.
The rock on the right-hand side of the entrance has different pieces of granite gneiss or gneiss with the same minerals as granite, quartz, feldspar, and mica. The gneiss is from the Canadian Shield. The rocks have been broken and you can see the structure rather nicely. Some rocks have pegmatite veins through them, forming pinkish lines across the rock. If you look along the side of the wall, you can see some of the thin layering in the pieces of gneiss. And in some spots, you can see an enlargement of the white layer that looks like an eye. Geologists use the word Augen, a German name for eye, to describe the eye-shaped pods of feldspar crystals in the rock. If you look on the wall that parallels the door, you will see a rock with red garnets near the top right-hand side, about 9 feet up or 3 meters high. Red garnets are found in the gneiss near Parry Sound, Ontario. The billion-year-old Grenville Mountains form these rocks 25 kilometers underneath the ground. It takes a long time to make this rock. And then, of course, the mountain weathers away to form other rocks and exposes the gneiss on the surface.
Cross the road to the tall building, the Marsland Center. We're going to discover what it is made of. Check out the big stripes of pinky red material going up on the side of the building. The middle part of the building was built first, the two ends built second. For one of the sections, they use real rock, and the other, they use an artificial rock. I'd like you to walk over and look at the pink rock, and figure out which is the real granite and which is the fake. Peter knows which one it is.
If you check the rock closely, the answer is that the old part has the artificial rock, which is twice as thick as the real rock in the newer part of the building. To make the artificial rock, they took crushed up granite and they mixed it with a reddish brown material. It may look like granite, but it doesn't stay quite as bright or as shiny as the original. However, it has stayed in reasonable shape. If you look at the bottom near the door, you will see that the granite is getting pitting in it. This is caused by salt damage in the winter time. We'll see this type of damage in other places during our walk.
If the Marsland building is open, go inside. There's a couple of interesting rocks in there. Inside, you will find the original cornerstone for the Waterloo City Hall that used to be on this site. It is made of marble. It is etched away by acid rain. It was originally a very sharp carving, but it now has a more weathered look. Look down at the floor, and you will see black granite and a brown granite. In the brown, you will see large crystals of feldspar over 5 centimeters across.
Walk over to the elevators and look at the walls. It is a stripy rock. This is travertine. Calcium deposits over algal growth and builds up in massive layers as spring water rich in calcium flows at the surface. This rock is then cut and extracted in the quarry. You can see some dark brown material that has been used to fill holes in the rock. The travertine has been polished and the pattern placed to look like matching pages of a book. So they have taken pieces and opened them out so that the pattern matched on either side, making a rather attractive wall treatment.
Exit the same door you came in and look over to your right. To your right, you will see the old Forsyth building. They used to make shirts and ties. This reddish building used to be one of the factories.
Did you know that the Forsyth building was built of local bricks, and that the bricks were originally yellow?
Why are they yellow?
If you make bricks of clay in the Kitchener-Waterloo area, the clay is rich in calcium from all the limestone from the Niagara Escarpment. When you make a clay brick out of that, it ends up being a yellow brick. Most people last century didn't think that yellow bricks were very good. So on this building, they painted it red. The red colour is weathering off the surface. We're going to get a closer look at it. Cross Albert Street and stop when you get to the new Canadian Employment Services building or the old Forsyth building. Look closely at the red painted bricks and you can see that they were yellow originally.
Now we're going to move down to the old Waterloo Post Office, the next building over.
The Post Office building is made from Whirlpool sandstone from Cataract, Ontario. It is a red sandstone. This rock was also used to build the Ontario Legislature in Toronto. If you look closely, you can see the layering in the sand as it was deposited, forming layers at an angle. It is very well pronounced on the large pieces of sandstone that were used as sills under the windows. The reddish colour is caused by iron oxide or hematite in the rock. In the front entrance of the building, you can see that the rock is suffering from salt damage. Look closely. You will see a powdered material around the steps. Touch the rock where it is crumbling. You can easily rub it off with your finger. Don't do too much damage, or they will think it is your fault.
Cross Dupont Street and walk down King Street towards the Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce. Look closely at the rock that makes the CIBC building. It is the limestone, and it has been weathering. This limestone is from Indiana. It is used as a building material because it has a nice, even texture. Look closely at the carving around the window. It is washing away as acid rain dissolves calcite in the limestone. The columns around the door of the building have been covered with stucco to cover the damage to the original stone. Walk down King Street and stop in front of the Stag Shop.
The black polished stone is an anorthosite, a rock formed as molten magma cools slowly underground, like granite. The rock is mainly feldspar. The feldspar sparkles in the sunshine and reflects from different angles in the crystals. The Hatashita Jewelry and Gem Shop next door is the next stop. Look at the windowsills and you will notice it is travertine, the same material as inside Marsland Center. The acid rain and salt damage has taken all the shine from this rock.
Cross Herb Street to the Bank of Montreal. The Bank of Montreal was originally the Molson Bank of Canada. If you look high up on the building, you can see the sign.
Look closely at the stone on the side of the building. It is still preserving some fine detail. It has texture and stippling effects in places. Sandstone doesn't weather by acid rain, so it is in good condition. If you go over to the steps, you will see some more salt damage.
Why does salt damage the stone?
Salt gets in the rock. It then freezes and thaws, crystals grow and dry out again and get wet again. And it gradually breaks apart the sand into little sand grains and crumbles the wall away.
Cross King Street at the traffic lights at King and Herb.
Look towards the Waterloo Hotel. It was built in 1890, and it was made of locally made bricks. They are once again yellow rather than brown or red. Walk down King Street towards Frank's Jewelers. The building is made from a similar rock to the one that covers the outside of the Stag Shop, anorthosite. Here you can also see the large, shiny crystals of feldspar.
Past the Ontario Seed Company, you will come to 22 King Street South. Go inside and look at the marble in the walls.
This marble was formed by the metamorphism of limestone. The limestone had little bits of quartz and other minerals in it. This is what gives it the dark stripes in the white marble.
Continue down King Street past O.W. Sports and over the railroad tracks. Stop in front of the Uptown Parkade. Here you will notice the fountains. Sometimes they are flowing and sometimes they are not. Check out the large rocks around the edge of the fountain and try to see which ones are real and which are fake. Don't press play again until you have tried to figure it out. Once again, Peter will let us in on the answer.
The answer is that most of the rocks are fake. You can put your hands underneath one of the concrete rocks and you can feel inside. I think the idea behind these rocks was to have the rocks wrap over the basin for the fountain, which was a difficult task. So they made these concrete pseudo rocks to kind of lap over the top. I don't think they are going to survive very well because the chicken wire inside the rocks is gradually failing and the concrete will crack apart over time. Look across the road at the intersection to the new building, RBC Dominion Securities. The corner part of this building is dollar stone from up near Wyarton, Ontario. It is called Adair Marble. The same rock was used to make the Canadian Embassy in Washington. The quarry is owned by Ariscraft in Cambridge. It is even, almost like the Indiana limestone, but if you look closely, you can see some layering.
Go down Willis Way to Regina Street. Take a left and walk along Regina Street towards the Button Factory. The Button Factory used to make pearl buttons out of oyster shells. Now it is the Waterloo Community Arts Center. Right across the road, you can see the old Waterloo Railway Station, Paul Punter's men's shop. Carefully cross Regina Street because the old Waterloo Railway Station is our next stop.
The rocks framing the building are syenite, an igneous rock like granite, but it doesn't have any quartz. It is mostly feldspar. Likely it comes from near Marathon, Ontario. You can also see grayish and reddish types of the same rock. You can see some real granite near the doorway facing Regina Street, and you can compare the syenite above to the granite at the very bottom.
When you are finished, walk back down Regina Street, the way you came, towards Waterloo City Hall. Stop when you get to Laurel Creek.
The creek was made into a concrete channel when it was the thing to do with natural streams in urban areas. This was done to try and make the water flow as fast as possible. Birds don't seem to mind, but it sure doesn't look very natural. Enter Waterloo City Hall. The floor is made of a marble and serpentine rock, broken up into fragments, cemented together, and cut and polished into slabs to make a marble floor. The greenish material is serpentine, and the beige material is a kind of marble.
Exit City Hall towards William Street. You will see 99 Regina Street, the Community Health and Services Building. Cross Regina Street to that building and have a close look at the rock on the front entrance.
The front entrance of the building is the same as at Frank's Jewelers, an orthosite. If you look closely at the bottom piece of rock, you will notice that all the shine has come off both sides of the doorway, and the next one up is shiny. This is caused by salt damage. You can also do your little test here. Rub your fingers on the rock and little crystals fall on the floor. Don't let anyone see you because you are damaging Region property.
Walk up William Street towards King Street. Cross King Street to First United Church. If you would like to have a break at this time, Quiznos is nearby and a whole lot of gelato is just down the street. And on a warm summer day, this is a good place to go and freshen yourself up with a tasty treat. For those avid Starbucks fans, you'll have to cross the street in order to get yourself a nice cup of coffee.
Walk past the First United Church sign towards the church and down a little side path and examine the wall of the building. This building is mostly made of brown and yellowish sandstone. There is some limestone framing the windows. In between, where the windows are above, you will see they used a kind of gravel made of white quartz, pieces of red and black gneiss sprinkled together, but hiding in between the gneiss are occasional pieces of pyrite. The pyrite gradually breaks down to form rust spots, so if you look higher up, you will see reddish rust spots, because pyrite has decayed with rain eating it away. Look at a few of these panels and see if you can find the rust damage. Also, you will be able to see some marble crushed near the bottom of the wall as decorative stone edging the wall. Look across the street to Terrace on the Square, a senior retirement residence. This building is made like a beer cooler.
What do you mean, built like a beer cooler?
Well, it's a wooden frame with styrofoam and then covered with a thin layer of stucco to make it look good and solid. Of course, the styrofoam keeps the heat in the wintertime and keeps the building cool in the summer. Remember that styrofoam is made from oil.
Walk up William Street to Caroline Street and cross at the lights as you walk in front of Hilliard Hall, which is part of First United Church. Stop and examine the doorway. It is made of a coarse-grained limestone with bits and pieces of fossils. Imagine yourself walking along a shelly beach in Florida and that turning into a limestone very much like this. All it needs is a little bit of time.
Walk down Caroline Street towards the Seagram Building. I want you to have a look at the fountain feature on the side of the building. The fountain is made of the Eremosa Dollar Stone from Wyerton, or waterfall rock. This is attractive when cut horizontally, showing interesting patterns. This rock is used to make fireplaces and polished marble-like floor tiles. This is the same rock we saw in Waterloo Park. The Seagram Building is made from those yellow bricks again. It's quite a nice-looking brick. Some people complain about the brick being porous and hard to work with. The walls have been cleaned, and that may have damaged the original surface of the bricks, and I don't know how well they will hold up because of that.
Walk over on the sidewalk to the side of the Seagram Building. We will look closely at the wall along the edge of the sidewalk.
Some of the bricks are breaking apart. This is caused by water penetration. The water penetrates through the capping piece of concrete on top and goes down in between the bricks, and then freeze-thaw happens during the winter time and crumbles the brick. So take my advice. Install a waterproof barrier that stops water penetrating your brick walls, and this will stop the effect. But these walls are pretty damaged by water.
Walk past the Soleil restaurant, which is also made from those yellow bricks.
Walk across Herb Street at the traffic lights and make your way to the Waterloo Memorial Recreation Complex where you left your car. This will conclude your tour of Rock Around Uptown Waterloo.
This is our first podcast. Watch for others, which will become available on our museum website. This podcast was recorded by Peter Russell, curator of the Earth Sciences Museum, and Delia Garrido, student at the University of Waterloo, in 2007. For more information, please visit www.earth.uwaterloo.ca/services/museum.